What can happen when a wealthy, prominent Chicago businessman, the son of 19th century German Jewish immigrants, meets an African American man, born a slave, but determined to help his fellow African Americans walk toward freedom? What can happen? Great things. The African American man was Booker T. Washington, the first leader of the Tuskegee Institute in Alabama. The wealthy businessman was Julius Rosenwald. His name may be unfamiliar, but his story and that of his meeting with Booker T. Washington led to an extraordinary partnership and an inspiring part of the American story, one that needs to be better known. Rosenwald's philanthropy enabled countless African American children in the southern United States to go to a decent school at a time when they had little or no chance for an education. It fell in line with his belief in tzedakah, a Hebrew word meaning to help others and thus improve the world. It's the reason for an effort to establish a new site run by the National Park Service here in Chicago, honoring Rosenwald and his legacy. Dorothy Cantor, a Maryland resident, has long been involved with the National Parks Conservation Association, a group dedicated to preserving and enhancing our national parks. In 2015, she and her husband saw a documentary on Julius Rosenwald, which spawned the idea for a park site.
Even though I didn't know anything about Julius Rosenwald before that very important film event, I knew an awful lot about national parks. And I knew that there was not one national park unit in the system that commemorated the life and legacy of a Jewish American or the impact of Rosenwald schools on our nation and our democracy.
Cantor took her idea to Alan Spears, head of cultural resources with the National Parks Conservation Association, who was intrigued.
Dorothy knew that I had worked on a number of new national park units, including places like Fort Monroe, Harriet Tubman, Colonel Charles Young. And so she connected those universes and said, yeah, this guy deserves a park. And I thought, actually, yeah, he does.
Julius Rosenwald was born in 1862 in Springfield, Illinois, the son of German Jewish immigrants. In 1868, his father bought a house across the street from Abraham Lincoln's home. Today it's restored to look as it did when the Rosenwalds lived there and now houses the administrative offices for the Lincoln home site. Young Julius never knew Lincoln, but was surrounded by business and enterprise from the beginning. He dropped out of high school and joined the family business in the clothing trade. Later, he bought stock at a relatively new company started by one Richard Warren Sears. That stock in Sears and Roebuck eventually made Rosenwald a millionaire, and starting in 1908, he became head of the company. Throughout his life, Rosenwald adhered closely to his Jewish heritage, and that's where tzedakah comes in. Instead of holding tight to his fortune, he gave good fortune to many. On a recommendation from his rabbi, Emil Hirsch, Rosenwald read Up From Slavery by Booker T. Washington. The title sums up what the book is about. Up from the burden and suffering of living in bondage to the hope of a real life. To find what we read in another great American document. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. In order to do that, education was key. Alan Spears tells what happens next.
Rosenwald reads it and decides, I've got to meet this guy. So they pull together and have conversations about life and philanthropy and business and other things like that. The two become fast friends, but they also become partners in this endeavor to promote African American education. And Booker T. Washington says to Julius Rosenwald, I've got an idea. Let's start out small. We're looking for funding that can support the construction of four schools in and around the Tuskegee area in Alabama. Let's start there. But ultimately, that partnership develops into a project that creates more than 5,300 schools across 15 southern states in the segregated United States for African Americans. And in many instances, these Rosenwald schools are the first permanent educational facilities that many of these rural African American communities have ever seen.
The timing was right. At this point in history, separate but equal was the law of the land, especially in the South. Separate but equal described the 1896 ruling by the U.S. Supreme Court in that white children and African American children were to attend separate schools but have equal means toward education. It was anything but equal. That's why Julius Rosenwald's generosity, indeed foresight, made such a difference. Alan Spears talks about the fact that in seeing the segregation and persecution of African Americans, Rosenwald could empathize knowing the persecution of Jewish people here and abroad.
In 1908, there's a race riot in Springfield, Illinois. Julius Rosenwald is now living and working for Sears in Chicago, but the race riot allows him to understand that the racial problems in the United States are not just the purview entirely of the southern states. This is happening in Illinois. This is happening in his hometown. And the second thing for Julius Rosenwald related to the Springfield race riot is that for him, it draws parallels to the pogroms that Jewish people had faced in Europe for centuries. And he begins to see that there is a connection between Jewish people and African Americans, and that I think that entices him. It hooks him into understanding that with the power that he has through his wealth and his philanthropy, he's going to do something to enhance the life and the opportunity for African Americans in this country. That is an amazing connection.
The Rosenwald School idea was a win-win in that local residents did what they could to raise money toward building the schools to coincide with Rosenwald's gifts. While these were in the southern United States, and some still stand, plans call for a Rosenwald Park site to be built in Chicago at the site of the original Sears headquarters in the North Lawndale neighborhood. Dorothy Cantor's hope is for it to be comprehensive and authentic.
My vision, which many of our board share, is to be a big, bright, full of light, state-of-the-art visitor center. We'd like to include a newly built one-teacher schoolhouse following the community plans that were developed that Rosenwald schools had to follow if they wanted to get money from the Rosenwald Fund, to be built by young people following those community plans. I mean, they were basic schools, and they were at that time full of light because there was no electricity. And so we'd like to include in the interior a one-teacher schoolhouse and then build the whole structure around that and include the entire story of Rosenwald and the Rosenwald schools. The new park, when created, will fill four important gaps in the national park system. It will be the first park to commemorate the life and legacy of a Jewish American. It will be the first park to tell the impact of Rosenwald schools. It will be the first park to address early Black Jewish relationships. And it will be the first park that will go into philanthropy in this country.
Rosenwald's generosity also played a big part in a number of ways around Chicago. One gift came about after a trip to Germany. While there, he watched his son's fascination with mechanical exhibits at a museum in Munich. An idea for a similar place was being talked about in Chicago, and Rosenwald got involved. While he didn't live to see the result, his $3 million gift went a long way to create the Museum of Science and Industry. The Rosenwald schools went further than offering a good education. Alan Spears says they were the basis for forming a very important part of our nation's history.
What we see is that the graduates from Rosenwald schools in the 20s and the 30s and the 40s go on to help form that expanded African-American middle class in the 50s and 60s. And these are the people who are supporting and leading the civil rights movement during those decades.
Civil rights leaders like Congressman John Lewis and Medgar Evers attended Rosenwald schools. So did writer Maya Angelou. Spears says they and countless others were able to receive an education they may not have had thanks to Julius Rosenwald.
He didn't have to work with Booker T. Washington. He didn't have to help communities all across the South build these schools, but he did. That makes him a really important person, a really significant person, and someone who deserves his own national park.
We should know later this year if this idea will come to fruition. It will give this part of Chicago's history national recognition, something Dorothy Cantor says is all positive.
It's a story that's really important in this particular time of our history, because it's a story of partnerships of Julius Rosenwald and Booker T. Washington and those 5,000 communities in the South who dug deep. You know, they were paying taxes but not getting schools. And it's a story of how people of different backgrounds and different cultures can work together to achieve something really important to change the nation for the better. And so it's a really relevant story for now, and it It's a story we need.
Julius Rosenwald once said, "I do not see how America can go forward if part of its people are left behind." That's a perfect summation of this man's story. A story of progress, hope, and goodness, rooted in the ideal of tzedakah. Dave Schwann, WGN News.